You are listening to Processing Trauma Out Loud, conversations about trauma and healing from two women who are doing the work.
Hey everyone, it's Candace and Cher with Processing Trauma Out Loud. Cher, you and I did an episode last week on what does it mean to feel like you were complicit in the childhood sexual abuse that you experienced. We both agreed that it was a pretty heavy, hard topic, and we even got a little fired up in the end. We have a personal stake in this. Both you and I were sexually abused as children. We feel like we have a voice in this, and we also have done and are doing the work to heal and transform a lot of the perceptions and the beliefs and the sensations that we've held in our body that we confused us and we didn't know what was going on. After we recorded that episode, we began talking about what would it be like for us to share, how can you be a supportive person for someone that you care about and love that you know was sexually abused as a child, whether you're the spouse, the friend, the cousin, just any relationship. We're going to talk about ways that aren't helpful and ways that are helpful. If you want to kick us off with a few things, I don't know, do you want to start with what's not helpful or what's helpful first?
Even as you're doing the introduction, I'm thinking about as I started to talk more about my childhood abuse, and I feel like I, for the first 40 years, I was pretty careful and quiet about it. So, I mean, it's not like I was talking about it constantly with every single person in my life, but I did let the people in my world know that this was my story, that I was struggling through, that I was doing therapy. Some people knew that, not everyone, obviously. I had a lot of people who were in my life that faded away, that just could not enter the conversation with me at all, that couldn't even really stay in a casual friendship with me, even though we weren't talking about it openly, but just faded away. And so I think this is one of the things that is not helpful, is that when you know that someone is struggling with something, that you fade away rather than, and I guess I'll say what would be helpful, reading some articles. Today with Google, Google it. Read 3 or 4 articles. Write down 2 things that you could come back to that person and say, you know, I know this is going on in your life and I don't know very much about it. And if I'm honest, I will say I'm not super comfortable even talking about it. It's important to you. And because it's important to you, I want to learn. And so I just Googled a couple of things and I read a little. And here are 2 things that I read that really stood out to me. Mm-hmm. How easy is that? It's not hard. And obviously, we know a lot of times people cannot enter the conversation because they have their own stories of harm and abuse, to which I will say all the more reason to step forward and engage, like to press through. But I understand why that happens. But so that's one thing that's not helpful, is just fading away, getting out of the relationship. And what would be helpful is just do a little tiny bit of research and find a way to enter the conversation.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that. It feels very kind. I'm just thinking of maybe some of my stories in the past, and that someone would come to me and say, hey, I don't understand. You know, maybe somebody that truly doesn't understand because they haven't had that experience, but I really wanted to understand as much as I could. Oh, man, I can just feel the safety in that someone would move towards me in that way. I'll point out something that's not helpful and then add what's helpful. What we want to say is, if someone has had childhood sexual abuse, uncared for, unhealed, unseen, unloved in that dark place, they're showing up in ways in life that are still very painful towards themselves, for sure, and also possibly towards others, and being able to develop healthy relationships. those ways can be completely avoidant and not being able to have intimacy. It can be addictions. It can be just reckless behavior. And if we're standing on the outside of that without any awareness of how someone truly moves towards change and how they're motivated to move towards that, and we think that it's through shaming, blaming, punishing, threatening, and controlling, actually, that might work for a little bit, but it will not help that person truly change and heal and transform. Now, I want to say the hardness of this is sometimes you do have to set boundaries. Boundaries aren't mean. Boundaries are love. What I want to say to this person, one of the things that you can do to help a person who's showing up with unresolved childhood sexual abuse is you get yourself a therapist or a coach. You take really good care of you so you can open up space for how hard it is to see someone you love hurting and suffering. But if you're immediately going into judgment, and why don't they just stop? Can't they see how much pain they're causing? It actually doesn't move the person towards motivating a change. It takes them further into shame, which will take them further into the lie of whatever they're believing.
And deeper into their coping mechanisms, whatever they're doing in relationships or with addictions, whatever.
Yeah, and I want to name that might feel too hard for you to do, and it's okay. You can actually love someone by saying, this is really hard for me. I want to help you get, I want you to get the support you need. Sometimes, I mean, I know some current situations where someone says, I actually think that I'm hurting them more because I have so much of my own stuff going on. I can't be there for them in the way that they need. I mean, what integrity for that person to say their stuff is so triggering to me. It has now revealed to me I've got stuff that I need healing and transformation in before I can even try to hold their stuff.
Yeah. And I'm thinking particularly of parents of teenagers, because when children are abused in early childhood, younger years, sometimes parents don't know. I mean, that's the truth. A lot of times it happens through a babysitter, maybe through a teacher or through a leader of some kind, even a neighbor child or even a sibling, right? I mean, there are, or a grandparent. And a lot of times the parent does not know, does not recognize it. And then all of a sudden the child hits adolescence or even pre-adolescence, and there are big behavioral changes and big personality changes. And when you see changes like that happening in your child, how do you move toward? How do you stop yourself from just labeling them as being rebellious or unwilling to conform to whatever your rules are or whatever? And rather than pushing them away through some form of judgment, how do you move toward them? And this, Candace, might require you to do your own work. Exactly.
I just wrote a book about this.
Oh, really?
And it's not published yet.
Oh, yeah. I wrote a book about it. I thought you said read. I know, yeah. But how do you, and I love what you're saying here, that parents, sometimes we need to do our own work in order to help our children, because we cannot take someone further than we have gone. If the behaviors of your children are triggering things in you, and that might be anger, or maybe some memories of your own have come up, or whatever the case may be, do your own work so that you can engage your children and help them find healing as well.
It's the number one thing. Your children in those teenage years will trigger what it was like for you as a teenager. Let's just say that you're not being triggered. Let's just say that you're not. You didn't have the same things that you see your teenage go through. So what that means is, because it's still going to be painful, especially if your teenager is self-destructing in any way or hurting other people, it means that you actually stay grounded with a sense of strength and love and compassion to help them get the help that they need, letting them to some degree experience some consequences, but also helping protect the best way that you can. And share, we both know people and stories that for some parents, that means you really have to kind of let your children go into facilities where they have to be contained. I mean, these are parents' stories. There's a lot here. Wow, I just got emotional because, well, it is connected to the book that I wrote. My children's stuff actually triggered me because I had unhealed trauma. And so until I could meet them, oh gosh, I am just telling you, Cher, I will thank God till the day I die that I took several years and still to continue my own healing and knowing my own stories, because one of the biggest blessings that I'm experiencing in my life on February 1st, 2024, is that I can be with my kids without getting triggered.
Yeah. And what a gift for you and what a gift for them that you are able to stay grounded and stay connected and enter the places of their pain.
That's what we're talking about here today. What's it like for you to be in a relationship with someone that you love? I know we kind of got general here because we were talking specifically about when someone has had a history of childhood sexual abuse. We know across the board in every study that has been done, there is a high percentage that you are going to have certain characteristics about your adult life if you've been sexually abused.
Yeah.
And here's what I want to say. Until we talk about this more and more, the shame of that keeps people hidden.
Yeah.
And we want to say it wasn't your shame.
There are some things that we need to do a better job as a society at educating people on. I've always felt like everybody should know how to take care of their personal finances. Everybody should learn personal self-defense. Everybody should know how to do basic first aid. And everybody should learn how to move toward others who are experiencing emotional distress. We're not so bad about if somebody breaks a leg, we'll go visit them in the hospital. We'll sign their cast. We'll bring them a meal. But if somebody is struggling with some emotional difficulty, we just stay away because we don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. We need to be educated. So whether you are a friend, whether you are a parent, whether you are a church leader of some kind or a leader of an organization or a boss with a lot of employees, I would implore you, find ways to get educated, to know how to move toward people who are in emotional distress, particularly people who have experienced some kind of sexual assault or violation. This is rampant in our society. It's proven that at least one out of every four people experiences some kind of sexual assault or violation before they are 18 years old, one out of four. And most people know that it's even a much higher percentage than that. This is a big problem. Do I want to say that? This is a big place of deep, deep need in our society.
Yeah. And I want to go back to something you said. If you're that person who doesn't know how to move towards someone in emotional distress, you're getting dysregulated when somebody else is dysregulated. That's data for you.
Yeah.
To not just get educated, but to go get care around your own stories.
That's right.
Which will educate you.
The best education. Yeah, there's so much more to say, Candace, but yeah, well, we can come back to this at some point too. But yeah, it's a topic that is really big. And I hope our listeners hear the passion in our voices today. Usually we speak directly to people who are in these deep waters, but today we're talking a little bit about more to the person who is the helper or the caregiver, but it's an important place to be.
Yeah, good topic. And we're doing some themes in story work right now. So we're doing this series about why we love story work. We're going to be talking about different themes. We talked about complicity. You know, today we're still in the waters of story work, right? Because we're just saying, if you can't have compassion for someone else's story or can slow down and be curious instead of judgmental, we want to invite you to look at that. And then I'm going to say next week, I've had this topic on my mind for a while. And we could change it, so don't hold us to it. But I want to talk about the theme of parentification.
I'm game to go.
Are you complicit? Okay. Love you, friend. Good to be with you.
Love you too, Candace.
Thank you for listening to Processing Trauma Out Loud. Make sure to check out the show notes for links to suggested resources and social media. Like, subscribe, and follow to keep up with our weekly content. And if you don't mind, take a moment to rate and review us. Your feedback is extremely valuable and contributes to the success of this podcast. One last thing. If you have found this podcast helpful in any way, or if you have questions on how to take the next steps on your healing journey, please reach out to us via email at candaceshare@gmail.com. That's candaceshare@gmail.com. Our sound engineer is Jeremiah Jones of Auditstory LLC. We welcome you to join us for more conversations soon. Take care.